calling about
Blog Talk Radio.
Calling about a cake or home or something. Press it now. Good evening and welcome to the Monday Morning Hangover Fantasy Football Podcast brought to you by BackForcePage.com. This is Mo and I'm coming to you live with my co-host T and of course Cons. So finally made it through the hard bye week. Only four teams on a bye this week. It's only going to get easier from here on out as far as byes are concerned. Of course, it's crunch time. Fantasy playoffs start, depending on your league, as early as 3 weeks from now. So we'll get you going. We have Miami and Buffalo tonight. For anyone listening, Fred Jackson's officially not playing tonight, so get him out of your lineups. And let's get started on the rest of the games. We'll talk about, we might as well, I'm pulling up the games right now. We might as well start talking about this Buffalo-Miami game. As we said, Fred Jackson out for the game. Bryce Brown becomes the guy you want to own or the guy you want to start. If you're desperate, if you have to start someone in this matchup, Miami is a very good run defense, so you don't feel good about either one of them. The same way you don't feel good about starting a running back on the other opposite side as well. Lamar Miller, a little bit banged up, couldn't finish the game against Detroit last week, so Damian Williams got a lot of the carry. You don't feel good about starting many guys in this game just because, Sammy Watkins, Courtland Finnegan's out for this game, so normally that their second corner, you don't think that's significant, but Brent Grimes, once Finnegan went out, Brent Grimes started to shadow Calvin Johnson last week. Now, granted, it's Calvin Johnson, but they're not going to put their backup corner on a number one wide receiver. So Sammy Watkins being shadowed by one of the better cover corners in the league, something else you have to worry about. Plus, he's still not 100% off his groin injury. I mean, I don't feel confident about starting any Buffalo Bills player. Miami, like I said, Lamar Miller, don't feel great about it. So if you're desperate, absolutely desperate, Damian Williams could do worse than Damian Williams. That's pretty much it. Two good defenses. It's going to be a defensively played, low-scoring Thursday night game. Any input from this one? They said maybe Mike Wallace might be the best fantasy play out of all of them.
Yeah, I mean, there's really not too much. I guess there's not too many guys this week, but I don't think you're starting Lamar Miller in most of your leagues.
Who's that?
I know you say you didn't like him too much, but which I agree with. But
well, I'm benching Lamar Miller in a league where I already have two running backs worthy of starting over him, and I'd rather just play a wide receiver as a flex. Someone like whoever it may be, just in a PPR league, it's easy to find someone potentially even on the waiver wire. It's just too much. There's too much risk involved.
I guess you don't want to,
That's not like it's a great matchup anyway. But even with especially with the shoulder injury, he could be taken out of the game on any play.
But I think that's it, right? I kind of like both defenses.
Yeah, that's true. If you have to stream if you stream defenses, which I do in most leagues, I am starting Miami in one league. Both teams really don't turn the ball over much. Not going to score many points either, though. You could say it's going to be a boring Thursday night game, but as compared to the majority of the Thursday night games this year, which have been absolute blowouts, I just can't see that happening in this game at all. It's like a division game. I think it's going to be close both ways. Now, move on. Minnesota-Chicago. All right, so we still have a lot to talk about in this game. Brandon Marshall with the ankle injury. He said he's going to play, but we've never really heard, unless he's talking about one of his teammates, we've never really heard anything negative from Brandon Marshall. It's not like he's going to come out and say he doesn't think he's going to play. I mean, he came out and said it early in the week on Monday. Had a limited practice today. If I had to guess right now, I think he's going to suit up on Sunday. And we've seen Brandon Marshall do it before. Even on one leg, caught the three touchdown passes early in the year and also disappeared for games and, for whole games, for full games. So I think he'll be I think he's going to play. You're pretty much starting all the guys from Chicago, including Martellus Bennett, who was also limited in practice today. And I mean, Cutler's struggling. He's absolutely struggling, but he gets a little bit of a better matchup here against Minnesota. And okay, so Adrian Peterson, more important. I mean, these guys, you just have to follow their progress throughout the week. There's not much we could tell you about it. But Adrian Peterson hearing is going to be on Monday. And if I had this correct, after the hearing on Monday, they have to make a decision within 5 days, which is the day was going to be the day before the Week 12 matchup. I forget who they're playing, Minnesota. Do you know in Week 12?
The Packers.
Which is a fantastic matchup. And me and T had this talk before. It's okay, so Adrian Peterson, he may not know that he's playing until the day before the game actually starts. But that being said, it doesn't. If there's one person in this league who, I mean, obviously, I'm sure he's working out now. I'm sure he's getting himself in shape in anticipation of being reinstated and being able to play in that nice matchup against Green Bay. But even if he wasn't, if there's one person in this league who I'd have faith in to be ready for that game and to be good to go, it's Adrian Peterson. And I can't see them. I mean, they already said they're going to welcome him back. The Minnesota Vikings said they'll welcome him back. I think he's going to play. I think he's going to be a factor down the stretch. Maybe it might not be as early as Week 12. I could see him being reinstated and they hold him out or just give him a few carries just to get him back into
yeah.
game action.
That's what I was going to say. I can't see them, like, giving him a full workload.
No.
When he's not sure if he's even playing the day before.
Right, and I'm, you know, I don't know all the technicalities, but I'm pretty sure he can't practice with the team until he's fully reinstated. So.
No, he's not even allowed to be on the...
Yeah, so he's going
like,
to have
to... He has no training. I don't see it, but...
I wouldn't be starting him that week if he does get... If he is allowed back, but you're going to have to... He needs to be rostered. I think that's an absolute given. He needs to be rostered in all leagues. And he's absolute potential difference maker in the way that Josh Gordon is. And it comes down to this. I mean, anyone who rostered Josh Gordon all year, first of all, congratulations for being able to hold on to him through the bye weeks.
Thank you.
And second of all, you're a sucker because you're a sucker to anyone who has Adrian Peterson because you just the guy you held on to the bye weeks. I was able to pick him up 2 weeks ago for free without having to roster him all season long. So I get what you're saying. Like because I get a better player after not being able to roster him all
year. You don't know that's a better player, and you don't know if he's coming back yet.
I know he's a better player if he's playing.
How do you know? How do you know they're even going to play him?
You could say the same thing about Josh Gordon. I mean, there's not.
They're not going to play Josh Gordon in the middle of the playoffs.
I mean, not that Minnesota is one of the favorites.
You have to bet right now. You have to bet right now who has more points this year, Josh Gordon or Adrian Peterson?
Well,
I'll take Josh Gordon every day.
I think Josh Gordon is going to get the extra game, it looks like. But when it comes, I mean, in both, right now, if both leagues ended and were in the playoffs, both leagues I own Adrian Peterson, I'd be in the playoffs. So, you know, it helps. It's definitely he's a stash at this point. I get it. But if Adrian Peterson plays, I mean, he's the number one overall pick in a lot of leagues. I mean, he's an absolute complete difference maker. So Josh Gordon can clearly do the same. But if they were both were to come back, I don't think it's a question. I'd rather have Adrian Peterson. And also worth mentioning, Kyle Rudolph looks like he's going to make his return this week. Definitely, I mean, for a lot of teams who are struggling in the tight end position, not that there's many on a bye this week, but, of course, there's plenty, you know, even Martellus Bennett, guys who started off hot, Bennett, Jordan Cameron still not practicing, Jason Witten, not the player we thought he was. I mean, there's plenty of tight end problems throughout the league this year. So, Kyle Rudolph, not a bad stream at the end of the season.
Honestly, I think it's an interesting situation because you have not that great of an offense going against a terrible defense. That looks like the team looks like it's falling apart. The Bears.
All right.
Last Sunday was terrible. Like, I picked up Cordarrelle Patterson in my one league. I'm starting him this week just because I think he has a very good chance of making a big play this week. And another guy that I'm thinking about picking up and streaming, I don't feel great about it, is Matt Asiata, because you got, I think the Vikings have a very good chance of having a couple goal line situations this game. They're going to move the ball against the Bears.
As bad as they looked on Monday night, I think that's more of a reason why they'll just bounce back and be better this week. I mean, how much worse could you get? And Teddy Bridgewater has looked absolutely awful. He's just awful. I mean, he's one of – I can't think of – I'd rather have Ryan Mallett right now in fantasy leagues than Teddy Bridgewater. That's just how bad he's been. So I don't think they're going to move the ball. Yeah, you're right. I mean, Chicago's defense has been absolutely awful, but I wouldn't go so far as to say I play Matt Asiata. And that just reaches – desperation for me. But this does, all this does, it's definitely Jared McKinnon.
No, what I'm saying, would you rather start, like, Asiata? Or once you start, like, Terrence West? Would you rather start Terrence West, definitely?
Yeah, absolutely. I'd definitely rather start Terrence West.
Or Andy, or,
well,
Brandon, you know, so you had Brandon Oliver going.
I'd rather start Oliver than Asiata. I mean, Asiata's just,
Asiata's
like the Mike Tolbert of last year. He's just a touchdown dependent, like third run or backup running back. He's LeGarrette Blount at this point, or Carlos Hyde. I don't think the buys are that desperate. That's your decision, Asiata or Brandon Oliver.
Yeah.
In PPR, it's still be Brandon Oliver.
I think it's also.
What?
Awesome.
All right. Well, anyway, too much time on this game. Houston-Cleveland. Report coming out tonight that Arian Foster is going to be a true game-time decision. What that means, I don't think it's needless to say. Alfred Billy needs to be owned in all leagues. He probably should have been owned in all leagues anyway. Top five handcuff, I think, at this point. I think he's been a top five handcuff. So, especially at this stage. Going against Cleveland, not the best run defense. They did keep, another top five handcuff, Jeremy Hill, hold him in check last week. But still, Alfred Blue is going to get 20-plus touches if Arian Foster doesn't play. It's nice that it's a 1 o'clock game. At least you'll know early in the day on Sunday. But, Alfred Blue needs to be owned for Cleveland. Like we said, Andrew Hawkins, again, limited again today. Looks like he was going to play last Thursday, and he's still limited again today, which doesn't bode well. I mean, kind of the same premise as Arian Foster. They had the bye week, and he still was limited in practice today, so that has to worry you a little bit. Both these teams, I guess that's pretty much it. You're starting DeAndre Hopkins. You're starting Andre Johnson. Yeah, Cleveland, I mean, we just talked about it. It's kind of... You know, it's a crapshoot back in that whole backfield. They're just going to play. They said they're going to get the ball to the hot hand. So, Terrence West, I guess, is the guy you want to own. But I can see it. You know, it's going to change on a week-to-week basis. Seattle, Kansas City. Kansas City still doesn't have a wide receiver with a touchdown reception this year. It's absolutely mind-boggling.
Yeah, get, like, a wide receiver for this guy.
It's not... Donny Avery hasn't played much. And Dwayne Bowe, I mean, he's not good, but he's not terrible either. I mean, he's had good years before, or decent years before. I guess it's more game plan and just or luck or whatever you want to call it, bad luck, more than anything else. I don't know. Doug Baldwin and Dwayne Bowe are the number one receivers. This could potentially be the matchup of the team with the worst receivers in the league.
Yeah, probably.
Are there worse receivers? I didn't even think about that. Now that we bring this up.
Jets? No.
Yeah, I'd rather have Decker. I mean, they're both pretty bad. Definitely, for fantasy purposes.
Cleveland.
St. Louis.
Right now, Cleveland.
No, I think St. Louis is the worst. Without Brian Quick. Kenny Britt?
I've also said Kenny Britt over anyone on Cleveland.
Andrew Hawkins? Andrew Hawkins has been pretty good this year. besides the injury, I mean, he's been better than Kenny Britt. And I know Britt is the default number one receiver now. Number two, and Miles Austin hasn't been awful. I guess Doug Baldwin does have potential. He had a couple of big games this year. After the loss of Percy Harvin, though, they just completely went downhill. It is what it is. I mean, Seattle, definitely not the dominating press. If I saw this card, you know better than me. Kansas City's the favorite here in Vegas.
What?
Kansas City's the favorite here in Vegas.
It should be.
Yeah, but I was still surprised to see that. I mean, they're just...
Kansas City's really good at home, and Seattle's not the same team they were last time.
I know that. It's still
dude,
surprising.
The Giants played with them in Seattle for 3 quarters.
Well, I guess that's what good teams do, though. They pull away in the fourth quarter. But
yeah, but they don't let bad teams in at all.
This is what, I mean, I still took Seattle this week, but this is, I thought of Uncle Colin, what he always says. He looks at the spreads and he sees the obvious one. He throws it away every week and just doesn't touch it, which is kind of what I should have done on this, but still, I still like Seattle to win this week.
I'll bet you Kansas City wants.
You can take the const approach and just go on with the...
No, not that. I think it's a fair spread. I really do.
Which is fine.
Kansas City's been playing well.
We'll see. This is a fantasy podcast, and both of these teams are just pretty much irrelevant, except for the Seattle quarterback and running back. Go to Denver, St. Louis. As we're talking about bad wide receiving corps, we could probably go from potentially the worst to the best with Denver and St. Louis. So I think it's officially St. Louis might be
the worst fantasy team ever.
Definitely this year, but either them or Tennessee. I only think I'd rather start Bishop Sankey than any player from either of these teams.
Tampa Bay? I mean, Mike Evans?
No, because Vincent Jackson, Mike Evans, and even Bobby Rainey, when he's the only guy. I mean, you just start him. But St. Louis and Tennessee, I think that's it. It has to be St. Louis, actually, because
Oakland,
when healthy, I'd rather start Delaney Walker over Cook and Sankey over Trey Mason, who...
I don't know about that.
Trey Mason, you can't trust him at all. At least you know Sankey is the number one guy there. And now McCluster is out another week, so Sankey gets even more touches.
What about Oakland?
They're close, but I mean, at least, I mean, Andre Holmes and James Jones are playable.
Yeah, have you ever had to start any of them week to week, though, would you feel good about it?
No, not at all. You want to feel good about any of these guys we're talking about. And out of all these teams we just named, now with Tennessee, I mean, Delaney Walker had the concussion, so he's not going to play this week.
Yeah.
I feel best about Sankey just because of he's going to get more touches than anyone else we need. But yeah, that's what it comes down to. I think St. Louis is the worst. Probably put Oakland. No, I probably put Tennessee second, especially without Delaney Walker, and then Oakland third. I mean, you're what? You're starting Derek Carr this week, so.
No, I'm not starting Derek Carr this week. I'm starting Derek Carr for the rest of the season.
Oh, well, you're going to have to play matchups. It's not your – you're completely –
Yeah, but in that league, there's not many matchups to play.
Well, there's – whatever. There's trades to be made and whatnot. You could figure something out.
I've already offered 10 trades for another quarterback. Everything's got rejected and tomorrow.
Because you're offering Michael Floyd. I mean, you're offering a free agent guy for – things are going to change. You can find other options. You're not going to start them for the rest of the year. I don't know the exact schedule, but we looked at it last week, and Derek Carr has a pretty tough schedule, at least NFL-wise, for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but I have Sean Hill, too.
Yeah, I don't feel good about either one of them. But then again, the good news for you in that regard is that you'll be able to pick someone up off free agency, and they'll be of the same caliber as what you own on your roster right now. So it's not like you're losing.
The rest of my team is so good in that league, I just don't want to mess with it. So, like, If I can get like 12 to 16 points, let's say, out of Derek Carr a week, which in a six point touchdown passing league, that's not too much to ask for. I think actually, oh shit, you're right. Doesn't look like the roster. Derek Carr's roster is impossible. For
I mean, like I said, who cares at this point? It's like you have anything to worry about.
I have two of the top three. If not, actually, Austin Davis. Besides Arizona, Austin Davis has a really nice schedule.
Sean Hill.
Sorry.
It's whatever.
I have the top two wide receivers in the league and the top running back in the league.
It's the league where I dropped all my quarterback. Not that you'd want any of the guys anyway. I'm sure you could find someone. Blake Bortles, I'm free into you. I mean, whatever. You'll figure something out.
The only good thing is, barring any more quarterback injuries, because I had Carson Palmer and Jay Cutler, barring any more quarterback injuries, no one's going to be picking up quarterback. So I'll have free reign at whoever's a free agent.
All right. Like, I'm completely out of the quarterback market. Not that. I mean, whatever. It's only one team, but still. I'm sure you'll figure it out. Like I said, it can't get any worse. So
look up the Jaguars schedule.
Yeah, have fun with that. Cincinnati, New Orleans, third week in a row where Bernard ruled out fairly early in the week too. So this is becoming an ongoing issue. Jeremy Hill looked great his first game, completely disappointed last Thursday night, and now has another great matchup against New Orleans. I think that this is more of a make-or-break game for him. This will go a long way in deciding. It reminds me of the Thursday night game where, you know, we were kind of counting on Doug Martin, or we were checking out Doug Martin's stock, and Bobby Rainey had a really bad week against Atlanta. And that, even though Doug Martin didn't play, that helped him out. That's what this week is going to be for Giovanni Bernard. If Jeremy Hill can't establish himself as a running back one in this great matchup, as a feature running back, then it looks like Giovanni Bernard is going to get his job back as soon as he returns, as soon as he's back to health. Like I said, great matchup against New Orleans. So, and this is part of the reason why I don't have to start Lamar Miller tonight in a bad matchup.
Yeah, my only concern is with the way the Bengals are playing, that the Saints just get up so big in this game that Cincinnati has to blow them over the top. I mean, Jeremy Hill's actually a pretty good receiver, too, so it's not terrible, but still.
You don't like, I mean, he lost the fumble last week, which you definitely don't like. I think he just it's very simple. He'll get 25 touches this game. So they don't really have anyone else. They tried to use their backups last week, just it's no avail, just both completely ineffective. Play Jeremy Hill as a running back one this week. For New Orleans, again, they have two running backs who are kind of in the same category as Giovanni Bernard. Pierre Thomas and Kyrie Robinson, I feel like they've just been questionable for 3 weeks straight, the three of them. So they're not going to play again. Mark Ingram, same as Jeremy Hill, just another great matchup here. And just by default, because of injuries to other running backs, these guys become potential borderline running back ones for the week. Anything else from New Orleans? I mean, Jimmy Graham looks healthy again. Anyone who owns him obviously knows this.
I will say Brandon Cooks is a lot better at home than he is on the road. So if you're thinking about Brandon Cooks, I think you could at least feel good about playing him better than you would if this game was
I don't think Brandon Cooks is better at home. I think New Orleans offense is better in general at home.
Colson's better on the road. Colson has a lot better stats on the road.
It's a big number, too. We're talking about spreads. I think, is New Orleans given 6? Am I right about that?
Cincinnati's been terrible.
It's
your classic overreaction of Cincinnati getting blown out on national TV last night by the Browns.
Yeah, but New Orleans isn't that good either. I mean,
New Orleans has been playing much better, much better.
They got outplayed last week, too. It's a good team, but still, whatever.
What is it, 2 weeks ago that they blew out the Packers at home?
I suppose. I mean, whatever. It seems like too big of a number for two teams that are, neither one of them have established themselves as a powerhouse. So Anyway, San Francisco, New York. Okay, so Frank Gore is kind of making his way back into fantasy relevance. Running back two, I think he's sort of where you drafted him. Yeah, I think he'll be all right. Giants.
Let me ask you a weird question about Frank Gore. Not a weird question, but Clayton Kershaw won the MVP as well.
Corey Kluber won the AL Cy Young. That's how I knew I was completely out of touch with baseball. When I saw that last night, who the hell is Corey Kluber?
Yeah.
I heard his name before, but I had zero clue, that he had a good year. Anyway, go ahead.
You know how, like, everybody every year says, like, Frank Gore, oh, he's going to fall off, blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
I think this offseason is finally going to – I think this will be Hyde's team next year. What do you think?
Yeah, well, I think that's whatever. I think it's a pretty obvious statement if it's ever going to happen. I mean, this is the first time every other year when people have said that.
He's still been good, right?
Right, he's still been good. So they had nothing to base that on besides the fact that he's old and he's carried the ball a ton. So, yeah, and not only that, I mean, they now's the first time they have a young running back who they can actually use as opposed to, what, Marcus Lattimore last year who wasn't able to play.
Recently retired Marcus Lattimore.
Anthony Dixon, who never really made – who's the other running back they had there? And Anthony Dixon, and one of the Michael James they had at one point.
Kendall Hunter.
They just had a bunch of these guys that just never stepped up. It's not like Carl Hyde is good either, but just the fact that they obviously think Hyde is maybe not as good as Frank Gore, but you know potentially as capable, because they're giving him nearly as many carries as Gore. So yeah, it's about that time in San Francisco. Okay, so let's say Gore will probably still be on the team. But let's say so Carlos Hyde established himself. I think it's going to happen this offseason, just like he said. So when reports come out in the offseason that Carlos Hyde's going to be the starter, what does that make him in terms of his draft position next season?
Well, I don't think it's going to be completely his team. I think you'll see
that's like a
60-40 split. I think Hyde's going to be kind of what Frank Gore was this year.
I think it's
preseason, not now.
All right. Well, hypothetically,
he's not gonna be a top 10 guy. There's a lot of running backs.
Fine. Instead, he's gonna be top 10. That's why I'm asking. Hypothetically, if I don't know Gore's contract situation or anything else of that nature, what if Hyde becomes? I don't know. Think who's even their backup if Gore is gone?
Well, they still have what's his face, Hunter. He's just on IR, right?
To be honest, I couldn't even tell you. All right, so say Carlos Hyde is whatever. I mean, obviously they don't have much faith in Kendall Hunter either. So say Hyde is the number one guy there.
You can also draft a fourth round rookie to be a backup. Now there's so many running backs that just don't go high. Yeah, they still have Kendall Hunter, Bruce Miller the cat, Alfonso Smith apparently is the other guy.
You still haven't answered my question.
I didn't hear your question as well.
If Carlos Hyde hypothetically the number one guy there, where does he get drafted next year?
I told you, I think he's a running back too.
All right, so
fourth round, third, fourth round.
I think he'd be higher just on upside. I think people are going to reach for him.
I don't think he's that good. That's the problem.
Yeah, it's
like I think he's okay, but I don't think he's an elite talent.
I don't think
he has the potential to be an elite.
I never thought Frank Gore was that good either.
Frank Gore was awesome in college. He just
so was Carlos Hyde.
My thing, though, is if Frank Gore did tear his ACL twice in college, he's a top 10 pick. Carlos Hyde isn't. Frank Gore had two ACL tears before he got to the NFL. That's why he was a third-round pick.
I mean, whatever. For fantasy purposes, I just think there's definitely, you know, there's certain teams where no matter who you put back there as a starting running back, they're going to have value in the NFL from a fantasy perspective, and San Francisco is absolutely one of those spots, except for the fact that you're right. I guess they're going to kind of split carries and whatever. We'll see. I'm looking at it from a – I'm trying to think of a better scenario or a comparable scenario or as a young guy takes over. I mean, almost not that it's going to happen just because Gio Bernard is, he'll be fine. And obviously Gio Bernard, you know, just, what's his, geez, Bernard's second year, right? He was a rookie last year?
Yeah.
I mean, I guess injuries can derail. You know, I'm trying to think of a situation where this would potentially be the case where a young guy takes over for an aging guy the following season.
No, I think there's going to be...
Chris, here we go. Well, whatever. Maybe in Seattle, like Marshawn Lynch leaving. So I guess we don't know where Chris and Michael or Robert Turbin, which one of them is going to take over. Both of them pretty invisible this year just because of the workload that Marshawn Lynch gets.
I don't think Marshawn Lynch is going to be gone. I think they're going to sign him.
I think it's whatever. It's all speculation. I think it's all but over there. And I think they're just.
Well, here's the thing. How old is Marshawn Lynch? He's like 30, right?
I couldn't even tell you.
He's close to 30. I think that's 30. I'm just playing a second.
Anyway, well, we're off track.
No, I'm just saying you could sign Marshawn Lynch to a 2-year deal. And cut him after a year. No, he's 28. I didn't realize he was that young.
Then again, he also got a few years off in Buffalo. But anyway, for New York Giants, Rashad Jennings is going to make his way back this week. Don't expect a full workload the first week. He'll still get the majority of carries. 60-40 split, I believe, with him leaning towards the 60, just because Andre Williams has been so ineffective. And Peyton Hillis is supposed to be out this week, I believe. I don't know much about that.
Yes, Peyton Hillis is supposed to be out this week.
Yeah, so you don't like. Maybe
I don't believe for a second that it's going to be 60-40, just so you know.
What, do you think it's more?
I think it's almost Jennings is healthy. It's a full workload, 75%.
Yeah, I guess it just depends on his health. I mean,
what are they going to put Andre Williams in?
Maybe we want to see something out of Andre Williams. I mean, the season's almost lost for them at this point. So maybe you just work in the...
Let's put it this way. I'm in my annual. I hope they lose for a better draft pick.
Well, yeah, I've been there. I've been there for a few seasons in a row. But, yeah, I just think if Jennings is healthy, yeah, he'll get more carries. I just think it's a little much to just throw him back in there for 20-plus touches. But, not the best matchup. And, you know, just coming back after missing, what, 3-4 weeks? You know, obviously the injury lasted longer than he expected originally. So, either way, Tampa Bay, Washington. Geez, kind of a weak game, huh? Just struggling from the quarterback position. Decent wide receiver in this game. I will say Mike Evans has definitely come onto the scene of late.
He's now, you'd rather easily own him. Ben,
Vincent Jackson?
Yeah, right.
Yeah, I definitely. What is that on the TV, brother? I could definitely see that. I'd still rather own Vincent Jackson, even though Evans has been playing better and definitely has more upside.
I think so.
I mean, Evans has had, what, like 2 games in a row now? And I wouldn't argue against it either way. I just think that we know Vincent Jackson's a better talent, a more established guy, more experienced. He has been playing with injuries. I mean, Jackson didn't have a bad game either. Evans has just made a living off of a fantasy living off the touchdowns the past 2 weeks. He's been good, and he has another good matchup here. Well, the two of them have a good matchup. Doug Martin did come back to practice. Not that this affects the wide receivers at all. But it definitely affects the running back situation, just clutters it a little bit more. So Bobby Rainey, still expecting to be the starter. Charles Sims did get, I believe, 10 touches last week, fumbled his NFL debut. So,
yeah, but they put him right back in there. So.
Yeah, they just, whatever. It's all trial at this point, kind of for both of these teams. And we'll see how RG3 with a nice matchup here. Let's see how he responds. I'd like to him, Jordan Reed, both injury-prone guys who are trying to establish themselves again. Let's see what they could do in this nice matchup at home. Atlanta, Carolina. Wow, another board.
This could actually be a decent game just because both fantasy-wise, just because both defenses are so bad.
Yeah, but then again, Carolina, just their offense is struggling mightily. There's really no one you want to start in this offense except for Greg Olsen. For Atlanta, I mean, Steven Jackson, he's been playable the past few weeks. He's getting the majority of the touches.
I know Cam has been terrible, but I don't think he's a terrible start.
Yeah,
just because of the...
If he's hurt, as he's making it out to be, as he's making himself out to be, that is something you got to worry about. But yeah, if you've played Cam up until this point, I'm sure he hasn't been dropped in a lot of leagues. I'm pretty sure more than 50% of leagues he's been held on to. So he does have a decent matchup against Atlanta. I guess you're still starting Kelvin Benjamin, who was invisible for most of last game until the very end where he caught the two garbage time touchdowns. But you don't feel good about any of these guys except for Olsen. You really don't. And for even Atlanta, it's Roddy White, he's been okay, wide receiver 3 at best. So Julio's looked good, at least. You got to give him that. I mean, who would you, in this matchup, who do you trust more? Would you rather play Matt Ryan or Cam Newton if you own both? Which is definitely possible to be.
Where's the game?
What?
Where's the game?
In Atlanta. In Carolina. I think Ryan's slightly a better quarterback, but he plays much better at home, so you kind of almost neutralize it in Carolina's field.
Yeah.
That just shows how far both of them are.
I'd want to know how hurt Cam is.
All right, well, we don't know, so who the hell would you start?
Okay, well, probably not Ryan.
Yeah, I would say so too. Just whatever, just much better receiving option. And with the injury talk about Cam Newton, you obviously don't think he's going to run as much. This is two boring matchups in a row. I mean, I'm really looking forward to the next two games. The next three games are awesome. Now let's go on to Oakland, San Diego. Let's get this out of the way. We just talked about Oakland as a fantasy wasteland, so. Not much to do there.
There's really not much to talk about because they're probably starting anyone in San Diego, right?
Ryan Matthews comes back from injury.
Yeah.
I think Ryan Matthews goes right back into a running back 2 situation. And nice matchup here. Phillip Rivers also came off that horrific game against Miami. I think he has something to prove this week. I like those two, especially Rivers. You know how competitive Rivers is. Actually, Lovers.
Does that go along with your, if Joey Harrington ever made it, will he be?
He'd be good because he's such a cool guy.
There's something to be said about these guys' personalities. Rivers, you don't think Rivers coming off a bye week going against Oakland, off a horrible game? You don't think he's coming back with a vengeance? He'd come back extremely hard. I mean, not that.
I agree, but you could only do so much. You know what I mean? As far as they're not going to keep throwing the ball.
I suppose not. Whatever. Division matchup, you never know. It's the first, we'll say, these 4 o'clock games are awesome. So, I mean, there's only 3 of them. But then we have Philly, Green Bay. Phenomenal. Mark Sanchez could potentially be better than Nick Foles for the rest of the year.
He's going to be. There's no doubt in my mind, actually. He's a better quarterback.
And he establishes Jordan Matthews as a wide receiver, too, in this offense. So, not only that, I mean, LeSean McCoy did get the touchdown, which is weird. It's kind of been the opposite of what LeSean McCoy's done for the majority of the year, where he didn't get the yards this game and got the touchdown. I think he's fine. I mean, their offensive line's getting healthier and better. And now if you include the passing game, I think he's still a buy low. He's been a buy low for, 8 weeks now. So I think you got to put him there. Well, for Green Bay, Aaron Rodgers, he's absolutely unbelievable. So you're starting all these guys. Let's not even talk about some of the obvious ones, but I really like Devontae Adams as a stash for the rest of the year just because it's Randall Cobb and Jordy Nelson have dealt with injuries their entire career. So, one slip up from either one of these guys and Devontae Adams becomes the number two. The number two receiver in this offense, and he's been okay as a third guy here. So you put him in as a number two wide receiver, and he will have wide receiver 2 upside for the rest of the fantasy season with the playoffs coming up. Anything else you want to mention with these two teams?
I don't think so.
I think that covers it. Who would you rather start this week, Eddie Lacy or Ryan Matthews?
Eddie Lacy doesn't eat it. Well, Eddie Lacy.
Figure out throwing out there.
He's got someone to have a better finish with the score touchdown.
Another awesome game, more real life than fantasy, Detroit, Arizona. So, Calvin Johnson, he looked like himself last game. And more importantly, for fantasy owners, Golden Tate just continued his tear this season. So got targeted 12 times. So, you know, all the people thought that he was not going to get the looks once Calvin Johnson came back. It wasn't true at all. It could happen again. But then again, you know, we know Patrick Peterson's going to shadow Calvin Johnson. He's done a good job on him before. So I can see another huge game from Golden Tate this week. The running back situation, you can't trust anyone. It looks like they could hold out Reggie Bush, limited in practice this week, re-aggravated his ankle injury. Look for Theo Riddick as a nice sleeper play. Arizona does have a good defense, but you know, so does Detroit on the other end. So, I mean, I guess and we talked about this before again, Michael Floyd, he's droppable. He's fully droppable. I mean, the guy, he might be the third wide receiver on this team now. John Brown with a good game last week. I don't want to overreact just from this one good game from a rookie, but I mean, Floyd's just been abysmal all year, and I think it's safe to say that Larry Fitzgerald is the number one guy in this offense. Now, you lose Carson Palmer and Drew Stanton's the quarterback, and he can rarely stay healthy. Who's their third quarterback? Well, now backup in Arizona? Yeah, I think that, whatever, that says it all. Detroit has a good run defense, but Ellington should get 20-plus touches this week to put him in the running back one category. And I'm not to finish it. We'll go to the Monday night game first, Pittsburgh, Tennessee, just because, as we said, Tennessee is whatever. Again, just absolutely useless for production. Pittsburgh, Martavis Bryant catches another touchdown. This guy, it's going to end soon. I don't feel great about starting him. Decent matchup here. So it's pretty good. And then again, all right, so Ben Roethlisberger throws 12 touchdowns in two games. Six touchdowns in each, and then he goes against the Jets and just puts up an absolute stinker. It goes to show you can't predict it. I mean, there's only so much you could do. You just play these players based on what gives you the least amount of risk. So even Antonio Brown had one of his lesser games of the season. I guess that's it. I mean, you're starting Le'Veon, you're starting Antonio, Martavis Bryant. I think he's warranted to start with his.
Yeah, I mean, how many? Sorry, guys.
No,
is he going to keep score? Like,
no, that's what I'm saying. It's outrageous touchdown rate, which is pretty unsustainable. So,
like, does that sound like he's just about to put up like one catch for 9 yards?
Yeah, absolutely. I was actually leaning more toward zero, but I mean, he does have the ability to continue this. It's just it's more so that the volume isn't there, just the amount of time. He's not on the field enough. He's not getting thrown to as much, which is tough in this offense because there's so many other guys to take the targets away. I think you could whatever. I mean, who we have an Eric Decker on a bye, Des Bryant on a bye, Terrence Williams. Steve Smith, Torrey Smith. You're missing quite a few players here, so you could do worse than Martavis Bryant. Let's go. This has to be the NFL game of the week, and it's awesome that it's on a Sunday night. Actually, not really. We're not going to remember this now. We should barely remember the Sunday night games. Tom Brady against Andrew Luck. All right, so there's besides the two quarterbacks, and Gronk, you don't feel great about starting anyone for as good as these two offenses are. I guess T.Y. Hilton's been a top 10 guy this year. Other than that, I mean, there's going to be quite a few. All right, so for this game, who would you rather start, Reggie Wayne or Brandon LaFell?
Brandon LaFell.
I mean, Brandon LaFell, he had two good games before this past bye week. But other than that, I mean, I don't feel great. Then again, yeah, Reggie Wayne. It's not like he's been, God, been bad on my calls this week. Usually I guess you're at least thinking about it, but.
Definitely, I think it's definitely been on the side.
Just only because. No, there is no only because. I mean, it's. Well, at least Wayne's getting healthier. And he has looked decent in the past few games as well. Just like, I guess, yeah, Brandon Nafel is their only deep threat. The only deep threat this team has. But then again, Julian Edelman, made his case for taking over as the number one guy. Also, again, in this part, the number one wide receiver in this offense, besides Gronk. But, yeah, Ahmad Bradshaw has been good, but it's kind of the same as Martavis Bryant. I think they rival each other, for the award of unsustainable touchdown rate, which has been going on all season long. So, for as good as these offenses are, I really don't think there's that much fantasy production to be had. It's whatever. The resurgence from Tom Brady has been pretty remarkable. I'll give him that. And he's doing this with subpar wide receivers, of course, which I guess you could say the same thing about Andrew Luck. But I guess that's it. I mean, is Trent Richardson even worthy of being started? Not really. What are you going to do?
Why not?
Touchdown dependent, I guess. You're worried about starting Brandon Oliver. I'd rather have Brandon Oliver than Trent Richardson.
I think Trent Richardson's guaranteed his touches, though. That's the thing.
I guess. Yeah, just what he does with them is far from guaranteed.
Yeah, listen, if you told me Brandon Oliver's going to get 15 touches and Trent Richardson is going to get 15 touches, then yes, I would much rather, have Brandon Oliver.
After last week, who would you rather have for the rest of the year, Calvin Johnson or Antonio Brown?
Probably Calvin.
Gotta be. I mean, just because Antonio's got the bye in week 12. Two awesome. I mean, the Lions, since we're talking about New England, too, Lions have Arizona this week.
What?
On the call now. What are you Constant on me? Should we get Constant? I mean, we're done with all the games, so let's see if we can bring Constant on. I know Const, he's been shying away. Like I said, three weeks this year, he had the worst picks in our pool, which is, it's hard to do, and that's, like I said, even if you're trying to have the worst picks in the pool, it's just, you can't predict it. But again, I mean, I guess there's a lot of luck involved as well, but after how good he did last season, it's actually kind of surprising to me that he's been able to be so bad this year. What are you texting him, calling him?
He's calling.
Right, you texting him?
Yeah.
I will see. So we'll, you sure you don't want to finish the rest of this Kale Spice interview this week?
I think we're good.
From Randy? I think we're good, too. I think we're more than good. Who else is it? I said it before. Dallas, Jets, Baltimore. Who else is the Jacksonville. Jacksonville. All right. I mean, you could say Allen Robinson out for the year. That's noteworthy, and it came up at kind of a weird time, just in like Tuesday afternoon. Allen Robinson, he hurt his foot in the game on Sunday and just didn't say anything to the team, and finally they took x-rays and saw that you only put us on for an hour again. We only got 10 minutes left. It's a damn shame because we gotta leave early tonight. Allen Robinson broke his foot out for the year. I don't think this changes much except for just makes Allen Hurns more of it, and he's always been a wide receiver three streamer. But now I think he could be an every week wide receiver three. They're going to get more looks at Marquise Lee. I think it might, it helps Cecil Shorts a little bit more too. Just the number one guy in Jacksonville's gone, so we go from having four wide receivers there to three that Blake Bortles trust. So definitely you feel better about starting either one of these guys, but. And then also, Denard Robinson, another good week for him. So he's definitely, he could be a top 15 running back the remainder of the season. Nice little story there. And, kudos to anyone who picked him up. So We have no con still.
Yeah.
Did you give him the number?
What's
the
date? Thursday.
No, it's Thursday. As you say, as the Monday Morning Hangover description says, Back Sports Page presents their Fantasy Football podcast hosted by Anthony Mullaville and John T. every Thursday night at 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time on Blog Talk Radio and Back Sports Page. Check out
Facebook. No idea. Oh, gosh.
You know what? It's we have the spreads up. Why don't we just make it? Why don't we just figure it out? I take St. Louis. I take Seattle. I take Seattle or Kansas City.
I take Kansas City on that one. What about tonight? What do you like? It's 4 point spread. I like.
Was it four? I saw it was like 5.5 in the beginning of the week. That's the only reason I went with. I went with Miami just because they were. What had happened to change the spread that drastically? 1.5 points on a short week. Fred Jackson's out. It should have went. If anything, it would have went the other way. Not that not that a 32-year-old running back, whatever the hell he is, changes the spread that much. But I go Miami there. Minnesota, Chicago. What's that? I love Chicago this week. I remember.
They're giving 3.
Yeah, I just think Chicago is absolutely going to blow them out.
I think Minnesota. I think they're. I think Chicago.
Oh, we have a lot to talk about Sunday morning. We'll bet a few drinks. Oh, you going to Hoboken this weekend?
Yeah.
Because I could definitely get a bet.
Lions, Cardinals. What do you think there, Smash?
I didn't want to touch that. It'll be a good game. I mean, it worked out for the Lions that Carson Palmer got injured the week before. It'll be interesting. Like I said, I would never touch it for betting purposes. I usually. Never bet the Lions. I thought I bet at all, but in my pools even, I just don't. If I do bet the Lions, I'll bet against them, just to be in a win-win situation. Oh, we got cons on. So we got cons. Now time cons called. We're about to cut them off early, since we were gonna make out our own picks. And now cons, how did you do last week?
43. Not a good week, but still a winning week nonetheless.
That's all we can ask for, Conza. I hope for better this week once again.
All right, folks. Week 11, as teams start to separate themselves from the pack as we... get ready for the playoff scenarios and all that kind of stuff. And, it's November, almost December, really. So this is where the playoff teams begin to separate themselves. Some teams that aren't very good and need a win. And here we go. Let's kick things off. We're going to start off with a very vanilla game this week. I'm going to take one of the worst teams of the week last week, the Carolina Panthers +1 over the Falcons. Listen, I just think, when you get embarrassed like that, Cam Newton has to be challenged. He's, sadly, they still have a chance in the pathetic NFC South. I just think this is a game that Cam Newton just has to find a way to win. It's at home. Atlanta's defense is god-awful. They barely beat Tampa Bay last week with Josh McCown. The Panthers have to win this game. No ifs, ands, or buts. I think they're going to get it done at home. Give me Carolina over the Falcons. That game is a pick. All right, on we go to the second game. And I've been riding them all year. It hasn't been going too well, but the season is, for all intents and purposes, on the line. And with a new quarterback, I'm going to take the Texans +3 over the Browns. Not so much because I think the Texans are good or because I think Ryan Mallett's going to make a difference, but because I think the Browns are due for a letdown game. They're coming off riding high after last week's, thumping of the Bengals on national television. I think this is finally the week where the Cleveland Browns show us why, yes, they're still the Cleveland Browns. I'm going to take the Texans. I think they'll win this game outright, take them with the 3 points, though. I think the Texans get the road win and a little shot in the arm from Ryan Mallett. Texans +3 over the Browns. On we go to game number 3, a very difficult game to pick, but nonetheless, I'm going with the Kansas City Chiefs -2 in Arrowhead over the defending champion Seahawks. Let's be honest, this game could go either way, but Aside from, you know, running the football with Marshawn Lynch and Russell Wilson, the Seattle offense has been, you know, for the most part, pathetic this season. And in Arrowhead, tough place to play. The Chiefs have the defense to restrain Russell Wilson, to not let him make those big plays with his feet and his arm. I think they're going to, you know, Jamaal Charles is going to run the football. Alex Smith isn't going to turn the ball over, and the Chiefs are going to find a way to get it done, take the Chiefs and lay the 2 points. The Chiefs get a huge win this week. On we go to game number four, and we are going to go to Arizona, where the best record in the league, but unfortunately their starting quarterback is out for the season. But I'm still going to take them over Cousin Mo's Lions, Cardinals plus one. Listen, I understand Drew Stanton's in the game, and it's a huge downgrade. It, you know, it really kills Arizona's playoff hopes. But here's the thing. The Arizona defense matches up perfectly with the Detroit Lions. They have the corners to cover, you know, the great wide receivers that Detroit has. You know, I think they're going to play man-to-man. They're going to make Matthew Stafford try to beat them. And I don't think it's going to be enough. That I think Arizona defense is going to rise to the occasion this week. Drew Stanton will not turn the ball over, and they'll get it done. Take the Cardinals over the Lions. The Cardinals are one-point underdogs as of now. On we go to game number five, and this may be a homer pick, even though it's not my team. I'm taking the Philadelphia Eagles plus six over the Green Bay Packers. Yes, I know. Oh, you're such a Sanchez loyalist. But listen, I mean, I understand it was Carolina, but number one, Green Bay's defense isn't that much better than Carolina's. Number two, listen, Mark Sanchez played very well last week. If he does what he did last week, doesn't turn the ball over, the Eagles are going to score 24 points, and they're going to cover the spread. I'm not saying they're going to win the game, but I think they're going to keep it to a one-possession game. I think Chip Kelly will have a good game plan. It's going to be a shootout. So, if Mark Sanchez could not turn the ball over, which I think he will, and the Eagles, you know, move the chains, kind of take the crowd out of it early, I think the Eagles are going to cover the spread, definitely. For sure, take the Eagles with the 6 points. On we go to game number six, and I might be kicking myself next week because I'm a complete buffoon for doing this, but yes, I am taking the New York Football Giants plus four over the San Francisco 49ers, who got a huge win on the road in New Orleans last week. Listen, what it comes down to is this is it. This is for the Giants. They're not going to make the playoffs anyway, but, I mean, see, I have no logic for this pick. I have absolutely no logic for this pick other than, you know, that the spread looks a little too easy for those looking at it. I think a lot of money is going to be on the 49ers. And I think Eli Manning's going to have a good game. I believe they get Rashad Jennings back this week, and I think Colin Kaepernick's going to have one of those kind of, ho-hum games, and the Giants cover the spread. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if they lose by a field goal, but I wouldn't be surprised if they win the game either. The Giants plus the 4 points. And on to the final game, and easily the best game of this week, and I'm taking the young gun. That's right. Indianapolis Colts minus three over the Patriots. Listen, you can make a case for either team. I just think the Colts in that dome, Andrew Luck is just too good. I think they're going to move the ball at will against the New England Patriots. And, on the turf, I think that with their front four, the Colts will get a little pressure on Tom Brady and just enough stops where the Colts will win a shootout probably somewhere in the, 38-31 range. I just think Andrew Luck, was he lost once at home in this earth, once at home in the past 2 years or something along those lines, take the Colts, lay the 3 points. I'm telling you, it's going to be pumped up national TV against the Patriots. Take the Colts minus the 3 points. All right, we're going to repeat the picks one more time.
10 seconds, Con.
All right, Cards plus one, Panthers plus one, Texans plus three, Chiefs minus two, Giants plus four, Eagles plus six, and Colts minus three. Cousin Mo, take it away. Mo?
Yeah.